I also appreciate the CIC's commitment to collaborate on, rather than obstruct, the founding of a safe sleep area in the district. Thanks should go to Commissioner Fritz for her longstanding work on this issue and to Commissioner Udaly for her continuing commitment to help find a location. I hope that one day in the near future, the Central East Side will include a space where our neighbors who have been displaced by the housing crisis can sleep undisturbed without fear. Where our visions still diverge is on the issue of private security, even if trauma-informed. The CIC wants to spend a large part of their budget fighting crime and grime. And I have seen no increase in crime statistics that would warrant this targeted funding in the district where I have lived for 12 years. I've attended every public CIC Security Committee hearing. What is evident through the original CIC RFP issued for hiring private security is that crime is never mentioned. The RFP said that, quote, the number of camps, campers, and at times people with disruptive behavior that are creating a growing sense of insecurity to business, employees, residents, and users of the district in general is the problem to be addressed. This harmfully conflates crime with houselessness, which is not a criminal activity but an economic circumstance. I appreciate Commissioner Udaly's addition of a situational protocol and reporting requirements so that we can better track the impacts of the private security on the houseless. But I have to wonder, what could hundreds of thousands of dollars do to help if the CIC view the issue through the equity lens instead? I sincerely hope that the voices of Voz and Right to Survive on the CI board will enable the CIC to do that.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Claude Gilbert, and I'm a board member of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, which includes a large part of the Central East Side Industrial District. While Handboard has not taken a position either in favor nor in opposition to the proposed ESD, we have voted to support the following components from the Capacitance Change District proposal. One, a cleanup initiative that includes programs such as bathroom and hygiene training, peer attendant porta potties at strategic spots, a community center with bathroom, laundry, shower, and locker storage space. Two, a jobs development program that includes a peer-run waste collection program which operates without causing one point of contact complaints, a peer-run attendant training program for peer-run bathroom and encampment aides and attendants. Three, a security program that includes a peer-run stable sleep area, a peer-run safe car camping program, a modified security contract focused on trauma-informed community health aid and conflict resolution. While aware of the reality that motivates the implementation of the CEIC's proposed ESD, we would like to see the issues of safety and trash accumulation addressed in a most humane manner and feel that the CCD helps to meet the needs of all parties. In addition, I serve as the hand liaison to the CEIC Security Committee. I would strongly support a service such as Cahoots to replace the current private security. I grew up in Eugene and have a long experience with the Cahoots model and believe it would be a much better fit for the needs of the Central East Side District than the downtown and clean and safe model. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I just want you to be aware that there are many people at the city who are taking a hard look at the Cahoots model. I went down there with my team. The police chief has been there. Commissioner Hardesty has been there. The fire chief has been there. And I am very interested in bringing together the service environment in the same way that they've brought it under one roof down in Eugene. It's not an easy process because we have many pieces of the Cahoots model here, but it's fragmented. It's not all under one system. And so our challenge in the next several months, and I know we're going to have many conversations here that my team would like to lead about how we actually consolidate these services in a manner similar to what's going on in Eugene. From my perspective, my narrow perspective on this is I've said many times over the last couple of years, we need to reduce interactions between people in crisis and the police and increase interactions with people in crisis, with mental health professionals, EMTs, and others who can actually support them and work with them. That would in turn free up the public safety system to be addressing other issues as opposed to trying to provide services that are either mental health-based or addiction-based or other trauma types of issues that we're seeing on our streets. So
I agree wholeheartedly.
I'm glad you support that model. I was very impressed with it, and I think there's a lot we can do with it here.
Thank you for your attention to that.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Michael Mahoney. I'm a deacon at St. Mary Magdalene Church, and I've been working on the street for about 2 years. We provide food and other services to people living outside. Mayor, you just mentioned that model is, I very much support that model. The problem with what we're doing right now is we're spending a lot of money on security in the current plan and then hoping we get back to that or something more like that. If the ESD was more along those lines, that's what we were going to create, I would very much support that. And that's what the Compassionate Change District is lobbying for, in a sense. It's very clear what they're asking, and we've taken a half a step or maybe a quarter of a step in the right direction, but for some reason we feel rushed to move forward with something that's spending most of the funds on security, which is, just as you said, Mayor, it doesn't work. That's not, sending security teams out is not what addresses the problems, the challenges that we're facing. My recommendation would be to slow down, to work with the group that is part of the East Side Council and develop a model further along, closer to the Compassionate Change model that takes into account the things that you just mentioned, Mayor Wheeler, and bring that forward. Instead of spending money on security, which will cause the problems that the mayor mentioned, causes the problems of heightened tension, heightened violence, heightened instability, instead of spending money on that, let's put the resources into a really new model, which is going to take a little bit longer, but it's just months longer of talking and designing and going forward with that. I can't support the proposal as it stands right now, and I ask you to give it more time as we keep working together.
Okay, fair enough. And I just want to be very clear about what my position is. Because I think you may have slightly missed the nuance.
You're in favor of the ESD.
I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and.
I'm just afraid we're going to get the security going, which is not the right answer. And that's where all the money is going to be spent.
It's certainly not the whole answer. We're in agreement, sir. Next three, please.
Are Sarah Rudolph, Patricia Kohlberg, and Edith Gillis. And they'll be followed by Eric Myers, Peter Finley Fry, and Jenka Soderberg.
How many more people do we have, Carla?
I think it's 12 after the next group.
Okay. We'll do our best. Edith, why don't you start us off, please?
Thank you for the improvement on this, and please continue improving it as follows so that it may become acceptable. One, change the governing board from up to three that have experienced houselessness to instead a minimum of four with lived experiences of houselessness plus different minimum of one with physical disabilities plus different minimum of two with lower income housing insecurity plus minimum of different one with trauma from police brutality plus a minimum of three indigenous COP and a minimum of one from the Compassionate Change District group. That would be a 12 out of 15 to 20 on the governing board. Two, change the percentages of the budget to prioritize compassion and addressing the causes of the issues. The police often cause the litter and the debris. More free toilets, showers, laundry, and lockers with bike and trailer and tent repair. Gardens for food. Have tiny self-governed eco-villages for the otherwise houseless and community gardens for those people with $0 to $10,000 a year income provided by the high-rent properties. Have mandatory on the high-rent properties or the high mortgage properties roof, wall, and or ground space gardens for growing food, energy, and water resolution. Pay houseless neighbors who are willing and able to provide training and skills and wisdom in preparing us for when the majority of Portlanders will be houseless between the earthquakes and fires.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Kohlberg. Thank you very much for letting me speak today. I am a physician and the former medical director for Multnomah County Health Department and over two decades of medical practice. I came into contact with probably, 2,000-4,000 homeless persons, and a lot of those people were my patients over a period of years. My problem with this ESD is the way the problem is framed, which is that the houseless are a problem because they are unsightly, they create waste, and they make the rest of us feel unsafe. I think as long as we frame the problem this way, we are not going to address the underlying problems of the houseless. The ESD is a step in the right direction. I don't think it goes far enough, and it needs some more improvements. I also agree with a previous speaker who pointed out that the ESD is one more example of a cash-strapped public agency having to rely on private entities to solve social problems which are not theirs to solve. That is our community's problem to solve. Two things I want to point to specifically. The CCC offered up evidence-based, peer-run hygiene and security solutions, which would have cost annually about $500,000. Somehow, the entity ESD, which is going to spend $800,000 on parking, found that to be too expensive and out of their scope. So I didn't understand that. The second is the problem with the board composition, and I just want to point out that the CEIC was unable to recruit a single houseless person to serve on their advisory committee, so I don't have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to recruit and retain three houseless persons. So those are my concerns. I think we can do better. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Elizabeth Kinneman. I'm here because, Sarah Rudolph, working people have to work. We both organize with Portland Assembly, the East Central NEC, and we are here to make a statement that we will not endorse the formation of a business improvement district or enhanced services district in the Central East Side until carceral concepts included in this contract are removed and not just rebranded. We recognize this proposal for what it is, an attempt to capitalize on opportunity zones and prepare the Central East Side for the next boom-bust land grab. We will not endorse the contracting of Northwest Enforcement with public money as a way to police the poor and unhoused, even under the guise of a low-barrier uniform, whatever that is. We believe that the city knows statistically that sweeps do not work and are a destabilizing and pernicious policy that you yourself said you want to remove, and yet you don't. So how can we assume that you are not just appropriating language from the eminently preferable counterproposal by the Compassionate Change District in order to make this CEIC proposal more palatable to people who want to pretend like they care? We instead endorse the CCD proposal as it is eminently more ethical. It is providing more agency and support to the communities who are the most vulnerable, who you want to help, or so you say. Your development is trash if it's built on the bodies of your most vulnerable neighbors.
Next three, please.
Next three are, sorry. Eric Myers, Peter Finley Fry, and Jenka Soderberg, and they'll be followed by Robert West, Eric Kress, and John Mayer.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Jenka Soderberg. I'm an employee of KBOO Community Radio, and I come presenting a statement on behalf of KBOO that was unanimously approved by the Board of Directors at KBOO. KBOO Community Radio supports the Compassionate Change District proposal and opposes the amended Central East Side Industrial Council's proposed Enhanced Services District. KBOO Radio has owned its headquarters at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue since 1983. That's within this district. We have been a mainstay in this neighborhood and community as the nation's oldest fully independent community radio station, founded in 1968. For 50 years, KBOO Community Radio has embraced values of peace, justice, sustainability, and democracy, and pursued a mission dedicated to equitable social change. We also have Right to Survive Radio, the only radio program by and about houseless people. We support a vision of the city that expands the commons and reduces the use of punitive policies and measures. Any program that uses public funds, which affects the lives and well-being of Portland residents, must be democratically governed and designed foremost to address the needs of the community, particularly the most vulnerable. We support the CCD Coalition members, including Right to Survive, VOS, Sisters of the Road, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, Portland Metro People's Coalition, the ACLU. These are organizations that should be leading, defining, implementing, and overseeing the program. Portland has been experiencing a structural housing crisis that is expected to get even worse. Real estate developers have identified the Central East Side as the next hot site for gentrification and are branding it as an area for creatives that could outdo the Pearl District. We're grateful to Commissioners Hardesty, Udaly, and Fritz for their support of the CCD proposal and for their leadership in facilitating the negotiation process with the CEIC despite recent changes to the proposal. However, the plan remains fundamentally at odds with the core values, mission, and vision of KBOO. We do not want to repeat the failed practices of other enhanced service districts, which rely on private security and policing for gentrification and profiting from the resulting rising property values. We oppose the use of private security patrols to target unhoused neighbors, exclude them from public space, and push them from one block to the next. We urge the Thank City you. Council to fully adopt the counterproposal for the Compassionate Change Thank District.
You. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Eric Myers of Summit Development Group. We are a development company and property owner in the Central East Side with a long-term commitment to being there. Our properties are located at 8th and Alder and at 9th and Stark. I myself have kept an office in the Central East Side since 2012, and I've seen the rapid change and deterioration of the streetscape in the Central East Side in that time. In the redevelopment of these two sites, which will be redeveloped into research laboratories, in doing so, we're bringing more than $120 million of investment to the CEIC that was intended to come there far before the Opportunity Zone was enacted. These buildings, when complete, will house as many as 1,200 researchers working in over 390 square feet of life science laboratory, offices, and retail space. We know that working with our tenants that better than half of these professionals will either bike or walk or ride mass transit, and all will become active participants of the streetscape in the Central East Side. As such, the owners of the local businesses looking to relocate to the Central East Side and grow in the Central East Side need to know that their employees will be safe as they come and go from our properties. The current state of the Central East Side streetscape is both unclean and unsafe for all participants. The problem has grown larger than the individual property owners can handle on their own. I know this firsthand, as I have spent countless hours trying to help our site keep our sites clean and our workers safe. We are in support of acting quickly on this and moving forward with the ESD, as the ESD will allow the district the ability to employ proactive resources to keep our district clean, provide inclusive, safe, professional streetscape. The ESD will encourage property owners and tenants to work together as a district toward meaningful improvement to the CEIC streetscape rather than continuing to take matters into their own hands without results and with rapidly growing frustration. In closing, thank you.
Perfect time. Thank you.
The next three are Robert West, Eric Kress, and John Mayer. And they'll be followed by Neil Goodman, Julie Bennett, and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Eric, you want to go ahead and start?
Yes. Yes, my name is Robert West, and I wanted to bring up the homeless aren't just the drug addicts and the people making messes. You also got people that, through economic reasons and stuff like that, wind up being homeless. Not all the homeless make big messes, though the city and city council likes to bring that up about the big messes and stuff like that. There's a few homeless camps that I've actually went through that has actually made sure that they kept themselves clean. And then shortly afterward, they got swept. I'm totally against this East Side proposal, because it just doesn't make any sense to me why you're going to hire more goons to walk the streets and chase homeless people around, put homeless people at risk of injury and death. They're not going to see these ambassadors as ambassadors. They're going to see these people like safe and clean, and like the police, and like the nurse testified to. They're going to swallow their drugs. They're going to swallow their drug stuff, and they're going to wind up in the emergency rooms. They're going to be jumping off bridges to try to get away, just like they do with safe and clean in the police. I've seen it. Other people have seen it. It's ridiculous that you guys did the same thing with the Lloyd District. It's like you're trying to break the city up into these districts and stuff like that, so you can get more money. What we need to do is concentrate on parking and concentrate on services for people and stuff like that.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Eric Kress. I'm a principal with Urban Development Partners. Our office is located at Northeast 6th and Cooch in the Central East Side, and we own property in the Central East Side Industrial District. I also serve on the board of the Central East Side Industrial Council. We started our company out of a garage just over 10 years ago in Southeast Portland, and eventually grew it and moved our office of 22 employees to Northeast 6th and Cooch. That was in 2012. We have approximately 500,000 square feet of adaptive reuse and office and new construction projects in the district, so we are a property owner. Within our buildings, we house a number of businesses in multiple industries, including technology, healthcare, retail, design, and manufacturing, so we represent a number of interests. During our time in the district, our employees and me have donated winter shelter space, prepared and delivered hundreds of meals for the houseless, participated in numerous district cleanups, and donated tens of thousands of dollars to nonprofits for housing and for education. I can say that other business owners in the district have done all of this as well and much more. I think it's unfortunate that some of the monies that are dedicated to peer-based programs are being mischaracterized as security. Maybe that's a communications problem, but you guys have a copy of the proposal, and I hope understand that. I'll also say that the same love, caring, and intention that has driven so many of us to participate and give through our time and money has inspired the ESD proposal in its current form today. And this new model, I feel, will be an inspiration for other ESDs because it is a new model and is different from what has come before us. After several years of grassroots work among a very diverse group of participants, I think we have resolved on a unique opportunity, $4 million over 3 years put towards transformative change that will benefit all of our occupants, and it's a unique opportunity that we don't want to slip through our fingertips. Therefore, I urge you to approve the ESD. Martin Luther King said, "We all came on different ships, but we are in the same boat now. Let's please take this opportunity to row together toward a better future for the CEID and for Portland." Thank you.
Next three, please.
Are Neil Goodman, Julie Bennett, and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And then the last three will be Sarah DeVita McBride, Elizabeth Kinneman, and Patrick O'Haron.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Julie Bennett. I'm a property owner in the district for the last 10 years, and I'm unprepared today. My partner was supposed to come and speak, but we have experienced increased incidents of violence within our buildings and toward our tenants. Without going into detail, the last one involved a blowtorch in one of our restrooms. And so we have four tenants in our building. They're small businesses. And these people, these employees are not equipped for these face-to-face confrontations. They are compassionate people. They don't want to resort to having to call the police when these things happen. And so we view the ESD as a way to more compassionately handle interactions with whomever these people are, not necessarily houseless people. So we're supportive.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Buenos tardes, commissioners, even though we haven't had lunch yet. Sometimes in the situation where we're dealing with this ESD, we do need and use a microscope, but do not lose sight of the fact that we also need a telescope or binoculars, and those are currently not being used or provided by the city. We're having to rely on great women journalists. Since June, when Rebecca Woolington and Melissa Lewis did what the city is supposed to do and told us that houselessness account for over half the people booked into the jail, we have not formulated a comprehensive response to that problem, and this may or may not be a small piece of such a puzzle. To make things worse, as far as the city using data properly and getting it into the minds and hands of the voters and decision makers, now Katie Shepard and the Willamette Week have analyzed for us the BOAC calls.
It's just not relevant.
It is relevant because there's tons of these calls coming out of the ESD, people saying, oh, I see a person that makes me feel uncomfortable. Those calls have surged all over the city and inside the ESD. It's questionable whether any of this action is going to result in a single solution. So I hope that when you were listening to Commissioner Hardesty and Ibrahim talk, that you will realize that we need to have better, more active periodic review on this process so that even if the number of service request calls in the ESD go down, but they just moved back across the river to this side or further into the Buckman neighborhood or further into the Lloyd, we've completely accomplished zero except throwing some money around. So please think about oversight and metrics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last three are Sarah Davida McBride, Elizabeth Kinneman, and Patrick O'Haron.
Last but not least. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Patrick O'Haron, MD. I'm a general surgeon and I'm the board president of Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. Oregon PSR has endorsed the Compassionate Change District proposal, but just to be clear, we have not taken a position specifically on the proposed ESD. So these are my personal comments. I think the economic boom of the East Side is a coin with two sides. On one side is thriving businesses and lots of money being made on development. And on the other side of the same coin is displacement, gentrification, and houselessness. And these two phenomena are related. I personally oppose the ESD. I think the overarching philosophy of an enhanced service district, this approach is too misguided to salvage with some well-meaning tweaks. This is still an approach that foremost enhances enforcement, not services. It fails to address the root cause of people being on the sidewalk. They are not housed. I support the compassionate care proposal, not an ESD. If we're going to raise and spend millions of dollars, let's use it to get to the core of the problem. Let's fund mental health services, addiction services, affordable housing, and getting as many people housed as possible. I can only see supporting an ESD as a small portion of a much larger effort that allocates the needed resources to deal with houselessness and the housing affordability crisis that we face. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your testimony, and I appreciate everybody's diligent efforts to keep the testimony in the two-minute time frame. I know that's difficult, and I really appreciate that people worked hard to make that the case. So, colleagues, we have before us two separate ordinances. At this point, we could ask questions of staff, or this is an opportunity for discussion, or we can call the roll. Does anybody have any further questions, comments? Very good. Then with regard to item number 98, the substitute ordinance, Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
This is obviously a very important moment for our city, for the Central East Side, and for people who live outside. This is a new kind of proposal, which I hear is not as far as many of the advocates would like to go. It's a lot further than we've been for quite some time. I vividly remember meeting with the Central East Side Industrial Council and their property owners with Right to Dream 2 with Mayor Hales when we were trying to put Right to Dream 2 at Southeast 3rd and Harrison. And I think hostile might be a good way that I felt, at least, whether I don't know that was meant. But part of what the conversation was, Mayor Hales said to the there was concerns about, we already have a lot of people living outside, we have a lot of problems in the district. If you put Right to Dream 2 there, there will be more problems. And part of Mayor Hales' response was, well, then you should form an enhanced service district and do what the West Side has done in terms of providing some services. And the answer at that time was, no, that's your job. Well, now the property owners are voting to tax themselves, and the tenants are also presumably going to be providing some of that funding. And they've come up with a proposal which attempts to look at everyone's interests around safety and stability. There's still a lot of work to do, and I greatly appreciate the Compassionate Care Coalition for your steadfast advocacy for houseless Portlanders. This proposal is much stronger and more inclusive than it was a month ago. And in particular, thanks to Ibrahim Mubarak, Lisa Fay, Sandra Comstock, and many others in that coalition. The VOS Workers' Rights, the Workers' Centre, has also been extremely helpful. I want to thank Barry Sutton, who is a frequent visitor to each of our offices, advocating for more services for people on the Central East Side. I think he had to leave, but I do want to thank Barry for continually bringing this to our attention, like on a weekly basis. So if you think that we don't hear about this, know about this, of course, many of us are in the Central East Side a lot, so we see it with our own eyes. If we didn't, we would certainly have Barry reminding us, and I appreciate his advocacy. Thank you, the Eastside Industrial Council, especially Kate Merrill, Juliana Lukasik, and Brad Molson, for your responsiveness to the Compassionate Change proposal and for the resulting revisions, which should give houseless individuals and advocates a real and more equitable position at the table. As was pointed out, that is easier said than done. And in particular, when there was only one representative of the houseless community on a committee, well, of course, nobody wants to show up and be the only one. I was the only woman on the council for 8 years. I know that. and we are, so the support, the proof will be in, can you make this work? And I do appreciate that there is much more acknowledgement of the need to be welcoming and inclusive and truly mean that. And so I support Commissioner Hardesty in asking for a report before the end of the year. One of the things that I will be looking for in that report is, are the people who started serving on that committee still serving on that committee? Have they felt like they have been included? And I would like, I'd ask also for you to include all of our offices in as you prepare for that report to make sure that we are going to get the information that we need. Thanks, Commissioner Hardesty, for your leadership on this, and Derek Bradley on your staff. Jamie Duhamel on Commissioner Udaly's staff. Thank you, Commissioner, for your suggestion of requiring a report on police contacts. I think that's very important because the safety ambassadors are ambassadors who are going to be helping with trash cleanup and providing contact connections to community services. They are not empowered to move people along, and I think that's really important to emphasize that. Thank you to Seraphie Allen in the Mayor's office and Asena Lawrence in Commissioner Fishy's office. Every member of the council had staff who were very diligently engaged in this on almost a daily basis for the last month. Thank you especially to Claire Adamsick on my staff. And I'll be watching this, as you know. I've been concerned ever since I started helping Right to Dream 2 to find a new spot, and I'm happy that they're there, but that's a permanent, a temporary spot too. And we need 20 Right to Dream 2s all over the city, or 40 or 50, so that people can have safe space, that they organize themselves and they take responsibility for that. I was very encouraged to hear the Lloyd Enhanced Service District representatives coming in and saying they've looked at yours and they are going to learn from you. And hopefully we can all learn from you that this is a better way to do things, in a way that doesn't put other taxpayers at risk and provide services that are so desperately needed. Thank you all. Aye.
Fish.
First of all, I just want to apologize to my colleagues and some of the people who testified. I've been in my office watching the testimony, but there was a fire in my son's high school this morning, and in order for him to be released, I had to do a little two-step and had to get actually on the phone with someone to authorize him to go home. He He's assured me he's going to go home and do his homework. Yep. But I was watching the testimony while navigating a family issue, so I hope people understand that. It was not intended as disrespect. I want to begin by thanking Juliana Lukasik. Now, I have been mispronouncing her name for years, so I'm glad that she keeps reminding us. Lukasik. Lukasik. Well, I've continued a well-established trend of mispronouncing your name, but I think in a prior life it was Lukasik. It just, that's how it reads phonetically. Lukasik, Kate Merrill, and Brad Malzin for their genuinely collaborative leadership in developing this ESD for the Central East Side. You started this journey years ago, working with local business owners to build a plan for extra services in the Central East Side, services, frankly, that the city just doesn't have the capacity to provide. And you have been responsive to concerns raised by the community and by council about how to improve this plan, which is, I think, going to provide a model for how we engage other parts of our city that may want to have an ESD. And I think my guess is that we're going to have more of these conversations in the future. I'm particularly pleased with a number of the innovative services that you've landed with. Unarmed safety ambassadors who will help connect people in need with social services. Ensuring that security personnel have annual trauma-informed training that is co-facilitated by people experiencing homelessness. Providing workforce development that consists of internships and jobs for people experiencing homelessness, a crucial piece of this approach. Having an oversight committee specifically for your safety program to make sure that it is working effectively. And I appreciate the CEIC and the ESD leadership's willingness to acknowledge that this is a start and there will be changes in the future, adapting to what we learn and with the goal of making this work for everybody. You are clearly focused on sensitive and thoughtful services for people in need while maintaining a safe environment for everybody that works in the district. Now, I think sometimes in these conversations we forget that the CEIC didn't actually have to do this. It didn't have to organize, didn't have to plan, didn't have to come to council, because businesses in the Central East Side are actually not required to pay extra fees to get these additional services. And this is a big lift. And as you alluded to diplomatically, there was some resistance when you first raised this for people saying, well, why isn't the city just providing these services? And the truth is, there are limits to what the city can do. This was a choice, and I think you've made a choice that will hopefully better our entire community, including the CEIC. I have a few people I want to thank. Commissioner Fritz really got the laundry list out, and I want to remember the mayor's admonishment that we don't want repetitive testimony, so I'm not going to repeat all the people she thanked other than to associate myself with what she said. But I want to thank my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, and Asena Lawrence. We have met with all of the players in this. They've taken the bulk of the meetings, advocacy groups, community members, people who have a stake in this one way or another. They've attended meetings with the mayor and with my colleagues and with staff of the council. And the truth is, this has been a very collaborative process. It is one in which a lot of people have been involved in kibitzing and in engaging and in advocating. But at the end of the day, a collaborative process that the CEIC had to embrace. And we would not be poised to give you a 5-0 vote of support if you had not embraced the suggestions and the concerns raised by the community and taken what I thought was a model ESD. And I've been around long enough to know how we run other ESDs. You started with a model ESD, and I think it's fair to say you've made it even stronger. So thank you for that leadership. And to me, that's the best indicator, that's the best insurance policy I have about future is and predicting your future behavior is how you've engaged this process to get to this point. I'm proud to support this ESD. I thank you for your hard work. I thank all my colleagues for their contributions to this and to the work that has led up to this moment, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hardesty?
This has been a long process. I want to greatly appreciate the work of the CEIC leadership, Kate, Brad, and Juliana. You didn't have to come to all of us. All you had to do was count to three. You were already ready to go. You knew you had at least three votes. You did not have to take the time that you took to really listen carefully to the compassionate care proposal and to do your best to try to weave what is a business interest with a community interest. I want to applaud the fact that I think that most people don't understand that you are taxing yourself to provide a service in a community that is lacking these resources. And in addition to that, you are creating an opportunity to work with the houseless community as real partners and making sure that this will be a real model. Before I participated in this process, I've never, ever supported an ESD because all the ones prior to this were really about removing people that people were uncomfortable with enhanced security. I believe the CEIC absolutely is committed to the hard work, but I know it won't get easier from this point. There are a lot of needs in our community that, as my colleague Nick Fish said, that the city just cannot fully fund at this time. And so you are taking on some of our responsibility. But I want to put on the record that I am also, and my colleagues, are responsible for doing our fair share. We have to work with you to find a safe rest area within the CEIC boundaries. We have to work with you to make sure that there is mobile laundry and there's access to toilets so that people can have humanity where they are at the moment. And so we are not just going to dump this in your lap, CEIC. We will continue to be partners to make sure that we are actually getting the best results that we can get. And I want you to know my office is ready to work with you in any way we can. And that is also true for Right to Survive, Abram and Lisa, and the coalition that came about. But I want the coalition to understand, the Compassionate Care Coalition to understand, the proposal that you gave to CEIC is actually a proposal that should have gone to the city. It is a city responsibility to provide all the needs that are associated with the Compassionate Care proposal. It is not the responsibility of private businesses to do that. The fact that we have private businesses willing to is a very positive thing. And so I am very happy to add my I vote and to say that I continue to be here and my office is here to help you make sure that we implement this as envisioned. Thank you.
You, Daly?
Well, before I begin my closing remarks, I just want to expand on something Commissioner Hardesty just said, because it seems that there is misunderstanding in the room about what an ESD is and how it's funded, and I don't blame anyone in the room for having that misunderstanding, because the city doesn't always, and I maybe rarely does, do a great job explaining these things to the public. So an ESD, Enhanced Service District, is an entity that the city allows business districts to set up if they so desire. It is funded through property management license fees, which are assessed on properties within that district. And CAIC also has parking permit surcharges, since they have a parking permit program in their neighborhood, which not all neighborhoods do. The city is not putting money into this ESD. We may have a small cost in collecting those fees, but it is not a significant amount of money. So this is an enterprise taken on by the business and property owners and funded by them as well. I want to thank everyone who came first and foremost to testify today. This is a long day, and by and large, everyone was very respectful. It's not over yet, friends. respectful, whether for or against the existing plan, and you gave us a lot of food for thought. I'm also a fan of the CCD and agree with many of the concerns that were raised today, but I, like Commissioner Hardesty, believe there's a limit to what we can ask private businesses and citizens to do. I am hopeful moving forward, we can all work together on many of the suggestions made today, and the city and the county will bring resources to the table. When the CIC first expressed an interest in creating an ESD, I hate all these acronyms, I apologize, for their district 2 years ago, I was largely supportive. As a former small business owner and a longtime patron of many businesses in the district, I was certainly sympathetic to the challenges they were facing. But my priority always has to be with the most vulnerable and underserved members of our community, and in the Central East Side and across our city, few are more vulnerable than those who are houseless and unsheltered. Property owners have a right to organize and serve their interests, but there's a growing awareness that we all have a shared responsibility to serve the needs of all our community members. To be honest, I had more concerns than constructive suggestions in the beginning. I didn't know what we could expect or demand from the CEIC in this conversation, and as every district has unique needs and challenges, I didn't necessarily know what the top priorities for the CEIC and the rest of the community would be. Now I'm not only supportive, but I'm very enthusiastic about this plan. I want to thank the Comprehensive Change District Coalition and Right to Survive for bringing forward an alternative vision. I want to commend CEIC for their willingness to engage, and I want to congratulate everyone involved for their successful process that has delivered an innovative ESD model based on research and heart. While I'm proud of this plan, I must acknowledge that the real work has yet to begin. My office looks forward to continuing to work with and support the CIC and Compassionate Change to ensure that the outcomes meet the aspirations shared here today and hopefully exceed. Let's show Portland how much better we can make our communities when we work together, and let this plan set a standard and serve as a model for other districts as well as cities across the country. A little side note, I mentioned it earlier, but I want to say it again. As a commissioner in charge of transportation, my bureau owns properties across or has right-of-way to properties across the city, and we are taking another look at all of those properties to determine which of them would be suitable for alternative shelter sites, and we very much hope to identify one within the CEIC, and they and Right to Survive has agreed to collaborate with us on identifying the best location and setting that up. So, thank yous, CIC, Compassionate Change District Coalition, Right to Survive. This truly was a team effort, so I want to thank all of my colleagues and their staff for their hard work on this. I especially want to thank my Director of Policy, Jamie Duhamel, who helped initiate and facilitate the early conversations between the businesses and advocates. I'm especially proud of Jamie for the introduction of the Safety Ambassador Incident Protocol, very fancy name, which is a clear-cut way to minimize police contacts with the houseless, which, while I'm on the topic, I have to implore Portlanders, please stop calling 911 for non-emergency situations involving houseless individuals and others experiencing crises on our streets. While we are in the midst of a housing emergency, and being houseless is a crisis situation for the individual, unless there's a threat of imminent danger, it is not an emergency for you. It is not an emergency for the housed. Our emergency call center and police are being overwhelmed by these calls. We need to do a better job. We, the city, need to do a better job directing the public to the appropriate channels and helping the public to feel more prepared and informed in order to assist others. Please call 211, or if someone is experience a mental health crisis, call the Mental Health Crisis Intervention Line at 503-988-4888. 911 should be your last resort for actual emergencies. Finally, I want to thank Director Lanham and the Revenue Bureau for their hard work and accelerated timeline. We appreciate you. Good work, everyone. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. I want to thank my colleagues. I want to thank the CEIC folks. Well done. I want to have a larger thought here, too. The testimony came in two flavors, which did not surprise me. I heard some people talking about safety and livability, and then I heard some people talking about dignity, compassion, respect, and rights. And if I do anything as mayor of this city, I hope I can bring these pieces together. It is not either or. People have a right to safety. They have a right to feel safe in their own neighborhood and in their own community. And people have a right to live in a community that has quality livability. We also need, as so many people said today, to be respectful and understanding of and compassionate towards those who are the most vulnerable amongst us. And it is surprisingly challenging to bring those pieces together. And that's been the work that I've been engaged in for the last 2 years. When you call a police officer, as Commissioner Udaly just mentioned, you're going to get a cop with a gun who's going to show up on the scene. And as I think all of us in this room acknowledge, that is not necessarily the best intervention for somebody who is in the midst of a crisis, whether it's drug-related, whether it is a mental health issue, whether it is somebody who newly finds themselves on the street, escaping a domestic violence situation, whether it's a young person escaping a neglectful and abusive background. These all require broad thinking and broad interventions. And I agree with those. I particularly appreciated the nurse from Multnomah County, my old haunt, coming forward and saying we need to acknowledge that there is a public health crisis unfolding on our streets. We cannot deny that there is a dysfunctionality to the mental health system in this state, and I would even go broader and say in this nation, and there is a growing addiction crisis all throughout the West. We are doing our level best as a council. We are doing our level best as a local government to address those public health imperatives. But the reality is we're not set up to deal with public health at all. That's a combination of the state, the health organizations, the county government. But we now find ourselves on the pointy edge of that leadership spear, getting into the business of public health. And this council dipped their toes into this during the last budget process when we expanded funding for the behavioral health unit, the service coordination team. We put a liaison in the police bureau who is focused on advocating for the homeless and shaping directives that are focused towards the homeless. Chief Outlaw has been very diligent in terms of increasing the training for our police officers around the specifics of homelessness. We have worked with the private sector. We've worked with the philanthropic and nonprofit sectors around new and higher quality shelter strategies. Just yesterday morning, a group of business leaders and I had the opportunity to stand out in the snow and kick off what we hope will be Portland's Navigation Center, where we pair temporary housing with intensive case management services. So people come in, but they will be also evaluated. They will have an opportunity to engage in a treatment regimen. They will have the opportunity to be connected with mental health services. They will have the opportunity to be connected with job placement, if that's what they need. And of course, through our housing bureau and all of these commissioners, all of us up here, we're working diligently to find new and innovative and diverse ways to house people in our community. And we committed to a stretch goal around permanent supportive housing. Again, not just to create the housing, but to make sure that people, all people, are successful in that housing, including the most chronically homeless people on our streets. So my view is let's bring these pieces together. Let's continue to think big. I think the CEIC folks have given us a fantastic vision. Yes, I'm glad the community has helped shape it and sharpen that vision. It's a good one. And it now, I think, sets a very high bar, a high standard for all future enhanced service districts here and, frankly, elsewhere around the United States. So I'm proud to support this. I really thank everybody who helped shape it because it really was a community effort. Serafie, wherever you are from my office, thanks for the countless hours you put into this. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Now to the second ordinance, Ordinance 99, call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, everyone. We have two quick items.